This is Morning Air.
This is about educating a people that for 40 years haven't been given the full truth. It's time now to speak the truth.
When you do things to the best of your ability, keeping Jesus number one and doing everything you possibly can for His glory, that's a winner.
You are called to make the light of Christ shine brightly in the world.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day.
This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio.
It's Monday, January 17th, 2022. Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Morning Air on Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverance. Thanks so much for joining us across America here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. On Mondays, I always remind you that traditionally we pray for the souls in purgatory. On Mondays, we pray for the souls of our relatives and our loved ones. I want to bring in my partner, Glenn Leverance. Glenn, what's the story making headlines that you're watching this morning?
In addition to the weather today, really battering the Northeast right now, and along the lines of that, Rhode Island and Cape Cod and Boston really getting it at this hour. But thousands gathering in the nation's capital today to take part in the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Peace Walk. It'll be led in part by his grandson, Martin Luther King III, his wife and their daughter among the marchers. The 16th annual event always takes place on this day to honor his life. And I know as a sports fan, you might have caught some of these games over the weekend. Five of the six wild card NFL playoff games took place, and some wild finishes, including the 49ers beating the Cowboys, the Chiefs pounding the Steelers, also the Buccaneers big over the Eagles on Saturday, Cincinnati and Buffalo winners, and Arizona travels to L.A. to take on the Rams in that final wild card spot tonight.
Glenn, I know you caught bits and pieces of different games. I got a chance to see the ending of the 49ers and Cowboys. What a wild, wild finish. I don't think I've ever seen anything like it.
You know, those of us that like to procrastinate, well, the Cowboys waited just a little too long to try and get that last playoff.
Just ran out of time, and they were, fumbling over the official there, and the clock went to zero, and the game was over, and the Cowboys were not able to pull off the miracle as they lose it 23-17 to the 49ers. Well, this is always a fun time of the year. We'll be keeping an eye on the NFL playoffs in the upcoming week. Culminating with the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's right. Coming up a week later, February 13th this year.
Absolutely. As always, thanks so much, Glenn, and also thanks for your beautiful meditation, obviously, on this day in which we honor the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We'll have more. In case you missed it last hour, we'll have it again in the Story Corner a little bit later in the show. Thanks, Glenn.
Hey, sure thing.
We begin every hour, every show, giving thanks to our Lord through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. And we always invoke the Holy Spirit here on Morning Air when we pray, come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, this is a huge week for the pro-life movement, culminating with the National March for Life in Washington, D.C. This coming Friday. In solidarity with the March for Life, our annual hashtag Fast for Life is coming up also this Friday. Tell us how you plan to pray and sacrifice for the unborn at relevantradio.com/fast. This year, Relevant Radio and Solidarity HealthShare are proud to offer our hashtag Fast for Life participants a free bonus ebook that you can download. It's called The Choice is Love. It has answers to a lot of questions. Questions like, if a woman is pregnant and decides to have an abortion, shouldn't that be her right since it's her body? The classic my body, my choice argument. The Choice is Love is a great tool that will help you in responding to several popular arguments, but to respond with compassion. So join Relevant Radio and Solidarity Health Share this coming Friday for our hashtag Fast4Life at relevantradio.com/fast and claim your free download of The Choice is Love. You can do it today. That's relevantradio.com/fast. As we do every morning, our power scripture from the Playbook of Life is from Matthew 5:16. Jesus the Lord says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And this is what we try to do here every day on Morning Air and on Relevant Radio. As Catholic Christians, we need to shine the light of Christ wherever we go. We need to do it every day and try to be a light that shines in the darkness. We must walk in the light as our Lord Jesus Christ is the true light of the world. We can reflect his light. And we pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. Now, as we've been talking about all morning, today is Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a national holiday in the United States. We honor Dr. King's life and legacy today, especially in these times when our nation needs unity and healing more than ever before. The famous words, I absolutely love the words of Dr. King. "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." Powerful, powerful words to meditate on today. And as I mentioned, there'll be much more. You'll actually be able to hear a part of his famous "I Have a Dream" speech a little bit later in the show during Glenn's Story Corner. A number if you want to be part of the program, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. I want to shift gears and talk about a couple of important legal cases, one involving COVID vaccine mandates and religious discrimination. The other one is the case of investigative journalist David DeLeiden.
The undercover team later asks about buying specific fetal parts.
It makes a huge difference. I'd say a lot of people want liver. So then you're just kind of cognizant of where you put your breast bears. You try to intentionally go above and below the thorax so that, you know, we've been very good at getting parts on liver because we know that. So I'm not going to crush that part. I'm going to basically crush below, I'm going to crush above, and I'm going to see if I get out intact.
The legal question here is Planned Parenthood, provider of 40% of abortions in the U.S., selling fetal tissue? That's illegal.
To them, this is not a service they should be making money for. This is something they should just be able to provide for patients in a way that doesn't impact their body.
And not setting their body. That's all they're...
Yeah. No one's going to see this as a money-making thing.
This is a repeated theme in the full video and absent from the web post.
Nobody should be selling tissue. That's just not the goal here.
As heard on PBS NewsHour. Now, this past November, in another case, 16 additional faculty and students joined the Thomas More Society's previously filed lawsuit against the University of Colorado and asked them for injunctive relief against the school over its COVID vaccination mandates. Joining us now to talk about these two cases is attorney Peter Breen, vice president and senior counsel at the Thomas More Society. Peter served two terms as Illinois State Representative from 2015 to 2019, including as Republican floor leader from 2017 to 2019. Good morning, Counselor Peter. Great to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, John.
Peter, it's been a while. We haven't chatted in some time. In fact, this is my first opportunity to talk to you as the host of Morning Air, so it's really a joy to be with you.
It's great to be with you, too, and I loved hearing from St. Matthew, our little guy, our patron saint of our little guy this morning.
Absolutely. Peter, for those who are not familiar, they may have heard of it, but they don't know a whole lot about the Thomas More Society. Can you give us a little brief thumbnail sketch of your pro-life and pro-religious freedom work?
Sure. We exist to restore respect in law for life, liberty, and life. I'm sorry, life, family, religious liberty. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Same sort of things right now. So really, everything that's under attack right now from the other side, we have been fighting hard for, starting with the defense of Joe Shidler and the Pro-Life Action League back 25 years and more, in the Now v. Shidler, that groundbreaking case where Now and their allies, National Organization for Women, were trying to shut down sidewalk counseling at abortion clinics across the country. We were able to defeat them at the U.S. Supreme Court and what we know to be the longest lasting case. It took almost 30 years to get it done, three trips to the U.S. Supreme Court. And out of that, we had so many other people asking us for help that we really, Tom Brekka, our founder, formed a full-on law firm that has now, been back to the Supreme Court many more times since then. And just we were able to represent sidewalk counselors everywhere from, local ordinance courts all the way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And during COVID, we've been particularly busy, unfortunately, first getting our churches open, including, multiple trips to the Supreme Court for that. And now these vaccine mandates, along with our regular caseload of defending pro-life heroes like David Dalyden.
Well, there's no question that Thomas More Society does a fantastic work, and I'm just very blessed to be able to talk about some of these cases that your firm is defending. Let's talk about first the University of Colorado case, this religious liberty case. Can you give us an update and kind of a overview of what this case is all about?
Right. So the University of Colorado on their medical campus, which it both employs and then has as students tens of thousands of people, they decided to do a vaccine mandate. That's not uncommon at the medical facilities across the country. Where they went in a different direction was, at first they said, if you are a Christian Scientist, you can get out of our vaccine mandate, but no one else with any other religious belief can get out. That was plainly discriminatory under the First Amendment, picking and choosing between religions, and then also telling certain folks, especially Catholic Christians and others who have an objection to the vaccines, your religion doesn't matter. So we have been deluged, as has every public interest firm, thousands upon thousands of requests from folks for help with their vaccine mandate questions. We have not been able to bring that many lawsuits just because of we can't. And in fairness, the employment laws, unfortunately, usually require you to be fired before you can sue. But because this was a government entity, and because it was just one of the most egregious examples we saw across the country, we got into court there, filed for two people. A scores of others asked us to help out. We added, we're up to 17 plaintiffs in that case. And so we are challenging this policy. What was interesting was after we demanded that the University of Colorado stop their religious discrimination, they took a different tack and actually removed all religious exemptions for medical students. So we've got fourth-year medical students that just need to get out of this place and get to somewhere else that will actually respect their conscience rights. They are stuck. They can't finish their degrees. And they have no recourse other than to come to us and get relief in court. Otherwise, you've got many years of expense and everything else, and they're not going to be able to become medical doctors. And at a time when we are hurting for medical personnel across this country.
Counselor Peter, this is so alarming to hear what you're sharing with us. Where is the follow the science in all of this? It just doesn't seem reasonable. And also, were you at least encouraged by the Supreme Court and the ruling on the two cases last week?
I got to tell you, John, it's often two steps forward, one step back, and I try to. Sometimes you can get a little annoyed because we have a majority Catholic Supreme Court, and I'm looking at these folks going, why won't you just fix this? And it's a little bit frustrating that they're still trying to be a little too lawyerly, as it were, with this, when the other side is fighting very, very hard, just putting in these policies that don't make any sense. The bright spot of Omicron, which is it seems like half the country's had either a bad cold and or Omicron COVID in these last this last month or so.
This reporter and all my family included, Peter.
Yeah, well, my mom's got it right now. I mean, we had a bad cold over Christmas. We tested negative on the rapid test, but now I'm told by the docs that you probably had it anyway. So, yeah, we're all kind of suffering together on this. But what that is doing is naturally immunizing us, thankfully, so that should obviate the need for these vaccine mandates so we can get everyone back to school, get them back to work, and not maybe not have to address some of these thorny issues, which clearly, you know, we've got three justices in the Supreme Court that want to address the issues, deal with them square on. Unfortunately, we've got two more justices, two new Catholic justices who appear to want to, I guess, sidestep it as long as they can. And you know, I want to be fair to them. But we're in this spot where, you know, the folks on the other side, you know, they're not taking any prisoners, and our guys are kind of waffling. It makes it difficult. But we are seeing, you know, when we can get the cases heard, we are seeing small victories. And I would say, you know, we have a great website, thomasmoresociety.org. If you're facing a vaccine mandate at work or school, go there. We have we keep having to add pages to that website of resources for folks facing vaccine mandates. And you can, the vast majority of schools and the majority of employers have been good on this. It's just the bad actors are really bad. You know, it's shocking, the sort of thing that's going on, like at the University of Colorado, like in the state of New York, where we sued New York on behalf of healthcare workers there, and they just stripped religious exemptions altogether. Tens of thousands were fired in the state of New York. And, you know, they're having to send in the National Guard to staff their hospitals instead of letting people, you know, who are fully trained and ready to do this because of these crazy vaccine mandates with no religious exemptions.
Crazy vaccine mandates. It seems like so many organizations, including University of Colorado, like they're living in the spring of 2020. They're dealing with Omicron as if it was the original COVID-19 alpha variant and not what it is today, because clearly we've seen that these vaccines are not preventing people from getting COVID.
Well, and here's the neat thing about Colorado. They have a really good COVID-19 website. So if you can find, I mean, if folks want to look at it, it actually shows how the variants are spreading week by week. And Omicron in Colorado's, I think it's pretty standard, representative of most of the country. 4 weeks ago, it was at 1%. 3 weeks ago, it's at 30%. 2 weeks ago, it's at 75%. Last week, it's at 100%. And so and with crowding out Delta entirely, thank goodness, you know, Delta was the one that was, you know, killing folks, really, you know, a horrible rate. And so if Omicron has entirely crowded out Delta, that means we really, you know, praise God, would be on the other side of this. You know, we're on the downswing. And so, you know, this is not the time to be imposing mandates. It's the time to be rolling those back. It's the time to be getting the economy started again, you know, supporting the folks that are in need. But that's, you know, that's about it. I mean, now it's time to get back to work, you know, which we're 2 years into this. So that's part of it. And again, though, our cases are about the religious reasons, but we do have to get into some of the public policy and the medical issues as well. And we've got some wonderful doctors who have stepped forward to be our expert witnesses on this, putting their own professional reputations at risk right now. Because, you know, if you oppose the governing orthodoxy, you can have problems.
Big time problems. We're joined by Peter Breen, Vice President, Senior Counsel at the Thomas More Society. Peter, let's talk about your other big case that your firm is dealing with, David DeLeiden. Can you tell us briefly about what's going on with that case?
Well, and David's got six different lawsuits pending, either against him or counterattacks that we've launched for him. The big thing coming up right now is that criminal trial in California. Kamala Harris, when she was Attorney General of California, sent 11 of her Department of Justice agents into, you know, fully armed, into David DeLeiden's little apartment to take all of his materials. Javier Becerra then came in and replaced her. He brought the charges, and now they've got this, a new Attorney General, Rob Bonta. And so we have been given a trial date of April 8th on 9 felony counts for undercover taping, primarily for illegal undercover taping. And David did all of his taping. When he was in California, he knew the law. I mean, he's from California originally. He only taped in public locations where there were other people around. So he did what was, when you look at other undercover projects that have been in California for years, other folks have taped in much more private locations than David did. But David went after Goliath. He went after Planned Parenthood, the National Abortion Federation. And so that is why he is being charged. I mean, we've got evidence that they were you know, the National Abortion Federation was colluding. You know, they're the lawyer, you know, they and their lawyers, including with Planned Parenthood, were colluding with the Attorney General's office. They were having regular meetings personally with the Attorney General, trying to get them to bring this case against David and then telling them how to bring it. And so right now we are looking at David Daleiden's liberty. You know, he's at risk of going to San Quentin for years. It will be in the hands of 12 residents of the county of San Francisco, California. Again, right now we're tentatively scheduled to start April 8th, and that is going to be a battle royal. There has not been a larger criminal trial involving the pro-life movement probably ever. And so you're going to have all eyes on San Francisco, again, starting in April 8th, at least, is where we're set for trial right now.
Just another example that Planned Parenthood and big pro-abortion is feeling the heat from the pro-life side, obviously, especially as we are getting closer and closer to possibly overturning Roe v. Wade. How much of that do you think it plays into all of these attacks on David Daleiden?
I think it absolutely plays in. You've seen this in particularly in the blue states. Legislatures have radicalized their abortion laws, whether it's Virginia or Illinois or what have you. You know, legalizing late term abortion, rolling back parental notice, all because they are in such it's like these crazy convulsions, doing things that no reasonable populace would support. But they're doing it out of you know their fealty to Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. Lord willing, whether it's in March or in June, whenever they release the decision, we would hope that this Dobbs case will reverse Roe. You know, I was talking, commenting to my wife Margie that hopefully this is the last March for Life this year that we hold in January. I want to hold it in June, marking the repeal of Roe v. Wade, the reversal of it, it'd be a lot more fun to go to D.C. in June than it would in January.
You're not the only pro-life leader that's actually thinking that this could be the very last one.
For the great predecessors that came before us, who for 50 years have fought this fight, they deserve this win. For Joe Scheidler, who just passed, for Nellie Gray, great founder of the March for Life, who just passed, I think they are in heaven praying for us and praying for this. Right now, and this would be Lord willing, this would be the final year of having to do this and mark this this dark day of Roe v. Wade.
Well, Peter, thanks so much for being with us here this morning. Thank you for the update on both cases. Both cases have implications for so many people. We continue to pray for all the great work that you're doing with the Thomas More Society. Thanks so much, Peter.
Hey, thank you, John. And again, thomasmoresociety.org for folks who are facing those vaccine mandates. We've got a lot of resources there.
Excellent. thomasmoresociety.org. Thanks again, Peter. Oh, my best to your other half, Margie.
Thank you, John. Say it.
Many blessings to you guys. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, we'll be joined by Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, who will explain why passive Catholic discipleship is a recipe for failure. Do stay with us. There's much more straight ahead. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day with the issues that matter most. This is Morning Air with John Morales on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
And welcome back to Morning Air. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Levins. I love that tune. Thanks so much for tuning in to Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Our number, if you want to be part of the conversation, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Now, Pope St. John Paul II said just before he died, it is not enough to know Christ. We must introduce him to others. Our next guest, Marcel Lejeune, knows a lot about discipleship and sharing the faith in introducing our Lord to others. He wrote these powerful words in a recent blog. Decline, scandals, confusion. Herein lies the noise which currently undergirds the Catholic Church in the eyes of our current Western culture. We certainly have problems, but all these problems are merely the outward symptoms of a much deeper issue. Now joining us for much more is Marcel Lejeune to talk about passive discipleship and why it's a recipe for failure. Marcel is the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples, a Catholic apostolate that works with Catholic leaders to form missionary disciples who then in turn make missionary disciples. Good morning, Marcel. Welcome back to Morning Air. Great to be with you once again. Thanks so much for joining us. In fact, for the first time here in the new year.
You. And by the way, I like that song, too. That's a good song by Springsteen, right?
Absolutely. Anything to get me thinking about our national pastime here during these wintry conditions up here up north, I'm all for it. So even though they're in a lockout right now, I do believe that baseball will come sooner or later.
Yeah. Wintry conditions. It's 27, and we have frost on the ground here in Central Texas, so you know it's not too much different.
Wow, yeah, there was a little dusting on my car this morning, and all I could think to myself was count my blessings because they're expecting 16 inches of snow in New York, in the state of New York. So you know, you always count your blessings any way
Amen.
You can, for sure. Marcel, I loved your blog that you recently wrote at CatholicMissionaryDisciples.com titled Passive Catholic Discipleship is a Recipe for Failure. Give us your perspective on why you wrote this story and what you're trying to get across.
Yeah, you know, well, first of all, there are times I write things, John, that I really don't want to write them. And it comes across during the times that I think that God's exercising the gift of prophecy. Now, prophecy is a charism that God gives to certain people who tell God's people what God wants them to hear. And unfortunately, I've been given this gift, and sometimes when I exercise this charism, it makes me unpopular. So, first of all...
But that's par for the course. I mean, really, if you're going to follow the master, expect to be criticized. It's impossible to be totally popular if you're trying to share the gospel and follow our Lord.
Absolutely, but I still like to be liked.
Of course.
So, yeah, and that's part of the issue is, you know, but I want to be more faithful to God. And ultimately, in a sense, that's really what everything else in this blog comes down to, is all of us have gifts and talents and a calling, right? All of us have a calling to go evangelize, to be saints. All of us have gifts and talents to do that in a different way than everybody else. We're all individuals. And God has given those gifts and those talents, and God has given that vocation to all of us. And as a church, if you look at the broad swath of Catholicism, you look at the kind of the big picture, right, the horizon of Catholicism, in the Western world right now in the 21st century, we have lost our way in a lot of ways. Now, don't get me wrong. There's great things going on. But this blog post was not about the great things. It was about the fact that, in large measure, the people who self-identify as Catholics, the ones who go to Mass once in a while or every Sunday, some of them, in many ways, we've kind of forgotten what it really means to be Catholic. And what I mean by that is that the depth of the calling of being a disciple of Jesus Christ in the Catholic Church requires way more than most people who call themselves Catholics have really lived up to. Now, of course, you kind of say, well, of course, Marcel, and I get it, but the fact is, I think we've settled for so little when God wants so much. And we have to stop settling. And this is what I call passive discipleship. It's when we kind of allow the day and we kind of allow the situation, we kind of allow the problems in the church to identify us rather than being proactive and going out and changing the world by transforming it. And if you think about it, it's as if the church is gone back. If we were to make an analogy of the early church versus today, it's as if the church is still sitting in the upper room. You know, the apostles are still sitting in the upper room and haven't come out into the streets to go evangelize.
Waiting on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's as if we don't believe the promises of God will come into effect. And in a lot of ways, that's kind of how we operate, if you think about it. Institutionally, we operate in this way by saying, okay, well, let's evangelize, and therefore let's go put on a big event, rather than going into the streets and actually talking to people who live right next door to us or who are ready for the gospel. Let's run a big event at the parish, right? So that's staying in the upper room where it's kind of safe in the parish. It's those kind of things that where we stay in our safe little Catholic bubble or in our safe little place, and we don't talk about Jesus and we don't share Jesus, and we don't really take seriously the call to be real saints and evangelists, but rather we're kind of just letting life happen to us rather than bringing it out to the world. And we've got to change that. If we want to really deeply impact the world, if we want to change things like the laws of this nation once again, if we want to have a culture that respects life and treats the poor with dignity and does all these things that the Catholic Church calls us to do, then we first have to change our own hearts. And that's the way I think we really have to think about this, is to get beyond passiveness and into real proactive discipleship.
You made me think of an organization, the Legion of Mary. I actually knew some folks back in my Michigan, in my Detroit days when I was at Fox 2, that used to knock on doors, and they would drop off pamphlets and rosaries, and they would be in areas, African-American areas, that weren't even Catholic. They were really boldly doing the work that you would expect out of the Jehovah Witnesses and the Mormons, who are known for knocking on doors.
Yeah, and see, here's the thing. That's what I call extraordinary evangelization. So not everybody's called to go knock on a door, right? But there's nothing wrong with it, and why aren't the people who are called to it doing it? And why aren't more? You know, I've done a lot of street evangelism. I've trained people. When I worked in campus ministry, I used to take college students onto college campuses, and we'd go hold up a sign that said, "Ask a Catholic a question," and we would take any question, and I'd train them on how to engage with people. And what it would end up happening is we would ask more questions of people than they asked of us, because they would come by and they'd say things like, "Hey, why did y'all allow, terrible things to happen during, this period of Catholic history?" And they're, they might be talking about all kinds of different things, right? The Inquisition or whatever. And I remember a guy actually asked about the Inquisition, and he got real upset. And he was talking to one of the students, and I walked over, and I introduced myself, and I said, "Hi, my name's Marcel. Where are you from?" And he says, "Well, I'm from so-and-so." I said, "What's your name?" "My name's Bob," or whatever, and he starts. But I kept asking him questions in just a friendly manner, and I calmed him down. I said, "Look, I promise I'm going to get to your question, but I just want to get to know you a little bit first, because it's important that we know each other and respect one another before we start to have an understanding of where we're coming from or a difference of opinion. And I bet you'd agree with that." He said, yeah. And I calmed him down, asked him a bunch of questions, found out what his major was, why he was studying, et cetera, et cetera. Then I answered his question about the Inquisition, which was basically, "Well, you've got a little bit of a historical inaccuracy here about the numbers. It wasn't millions and millions of people and, et cetera." And I went through that whole argument. And what happened was, at the end of it, he starts asking me more questions because he's curious about this, and he started to have at least some kind of trust with me. This isn't hard. This isn't rocket science. But what it really is an engagement of people to say, "My Catholic faith is so important that I think that I need to share it in an open way that is actively going to announce Jesus Christ is Lord of the universe, and this is his church, and I think everybody should join it." That's how we get past passiveness. And that's how we change things.
Great stuff. And I think that the respect for others anytime we're engaged is such a key, as 1 Peter 3:15 reminds us. We need to take a short break. I want to include our listeners. If you've had an experience of sharing the gospel, of sharing your Catholic faith, and you want to share it with us, or perhaps you might have a comment or question for Marcel Lejeune, 888-914-9149 if you want to be part of the conversation. We need to take a short break, Marcel, but we'll continue our conversation with Marcel Lejeune, president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples. Stay with us. There's much more on the other side.
From Maui to Maine, you're listening to Morning Air with John Morales.
Coast to coast on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Think about what you're trying to do to me.
888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Welcome back to Morning Air as we continue our conversation with Marcel Lejeune, the president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples. We're talking about passive Catholic discipleship, not the way to go. It's a recipe for failure. And we're talking about looking at discipleship with true Catholic eyes. Marcel, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
Marcel, I think that the bottom line, if we cut through everything, it comes down to our Lord Jesus. That this is what it's all about, understanding who the person of Jesus really is.
Yeah, absolutely. And the, you know, one of the things I discovered working in ministry the last 20-something years is that there are a lot of folks, and I was one of them, okay? So this is not something I'm above, who we have to kind of rescue and redeem our understanding of God, the person of God, the Father, as well as the person of Jesus Christ, and as well as the Holy Spirit. So we have to figure out what is it that about those persons, about God himself, that has been wrongly understood by us. Because our understanding of God does not make God God. It does not... It's not perfect. In other words, our understanding of God is limited. So what is it that's wrong? And we got to stop and think about, well, do I use God? Am I just trying to get something out of him? Is he just, you know, kind of a vending machine in the sky, that's some celestial vending machine that's supposed to give me good stuff when I put in my prayers? Or is he a life coach or a motivational speaker? Is he some kind of, you know, healer that comes in and takes care of my problems when I have a problem, or a miracle worker, or is he just kind of a teddy bear or a buddy to me? You know, what is it, the way in which I look at God, and what needs to be redeemed? Because God is powerful. God is all-loving. God is perfect. God is omnipotent. He's omniscient. He has all these characteristics, and we sometimes just take and pick some of them. You know, and make him into like a friendly face or a social worker or a doctor who can ease my pain. Well, no, that's not the case. Jesus is God. He's Savior. He's Lord. He's Messiah. He's the one who gives us his very life in the grace, especially in the sacraments, so that we can live with forever with him in heaven. And he's made heaven for us. He even made this world for us. He's created this stuff for us so that we could be with him forever. So as a Catholic, we need to stop kind of recreating God into what we want him to be and allow him to be who he really is. And if we do that, then we have some implications that come from that. Once we allow God to be who he truly is in our lives, then the implications become numerous, right? That means I owe him my worship. I need to repent more often of my failures and my limitations. I need to stop and ask him for his help. I need to open myself up to his power if I want to become who he wants me to be. And then we don't have to lean into ourselves. We lean into God, and we let God be God. And then when he's truly that way, we can be the disciples we were meant to be. And in other words, we can follow him to do miraculous things. And he even tells his apostles, you will do greater things than this after performing a miracle, okay? I mean, these are the things I think we sometimes neuter the words of our Lord from the scriptures and say, he didn't really mean that. I mean, it's just kind of, nah, I'll take him at his word at this because it's easy, but not at that because it's hard. And I got to tell you, if God was my pastor today, if Jesus was my pastor today and he came and preached the same words that I read in the scriptures, it'd be hard to believe some of that stuff. And I think we have to admit these kind of things to ourselves. Because, you know, the Sermon on the Mount, that's difficult stuff. You know, it's radical. Die to yourself so that you can live in me. You know, if somebody goes with you this way, give them your cloak, you know, because you have two. It's a crazy thing. But easy Christianity doesn't work. We've tried it. That's what we've been doing the last few generations. It's failed us. And this passive Catholicism, it's not changing lives. This soft selling that we do of discipleship, that we say, oh, it's okay if you're just not there yet, right? It means we don't make disciples of Jesus who are radically on fire for him. But we're comfortable. And I got to admit, that's the way I am too. We're kind of all wired that way. So you and I, we have to understand we're called to be the salt and the light of the world. And if we do that, then we can really deeply impact this culture again.
If you want to share what our Lord Jesus Christ means to you personally, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. I think that, Marcel, that so much of this discussion has to do with understanding that you cannot love somebody, you cannot follow somebody that you do not know. Can you talk about the importance of really getting to know the real Jesus, studying, meditating, reflecting, and really devouring the scripture so you get to know the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings?
Yeah, and first of all, I'll do that by a story, right? I was like a lot of people who were raised Catholic. I go through high school, get into college, and I kind of think I know a lot about what it means to be Catholic. And I still sometimes think I do, and really I only know part of it, right? But I'd never really had a true encounter with God that I responded to by the time I'd gotten into college. And that meant, for me, I'd rejected God, I'd rejected the Jesus that I thought I knew, and I rejected the Catholic Church that I thought I knew. And so I stopped going to church. I stopped practicing my faith. I stopped receiving the sacraments. And this is like a lot of folks, right? And what ended up happening was that I got an invitation to go on a retreat. And in that retreat, I had an encounter with a community of believers who preached the gospel to me and who offered me an opportunity to reconcile myself to the Lord through the sacrament of confession and then come back into that community and understand and grow as a disciple. And I took advantage of it, and I did it. And when I encountered the real God, he blew me away. I was absolutely blown away because he was not who I thought he was. And I think this is an implication for all of us, is that now that was just the beginning point, right? The beginning point of my understanding of who God was. Because God is, again, he's not our understanding of who he is. He's bigger than that. He's bigger than what we could imagine. So if we allow God to be God, he's going to blow our minds all the time. He's going to really upset our expectations. And he's going to come and he's going to perform mighty deeds. He's going to come and do big things in our life. But we have to let him. And to let him, we got to know him. And that's what you're talking about.
Absolutely. I think at the end of the day, our Lord Jesus Christ wants all of our hearts. That's why we have this devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But we need to start with our own heart.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's being a disciple of Jesus, that's a follower of Jesus, right? It means we got to be transformed. And let's all admit, let's stop right now. All the people who are listening to this, let's all admit, I don't like change. I don't like change because it's hard, but it's okay because God's got our back, and he's going to do it with us. So to really die to ourselves and follow Jesus, we have to get a little uncomfortable. Let's embrace that and do it because ultimately it's good for us, just like any big change in life. And Jesus comes with us, and he does the heavy lifting so that you and I can go to heaven and be saints and go and make an impact on this world that desperately needs it.
Real quickly, where can our listeners read your entire blog? Passive Catholic Discipleship is a Recipe for Failure.
Yeah, CatholicMissionaryDisciples.com. And, we'll be praying for all those people who are listening today.
As always, thanks so much for your perspective. I so much appreciate it, Marcel.
God bless.
Marcel Lejeune, president and founder of Catholic Missionary Disciples. For more, you can go to CatholicMissionaryDisciples.com. And now it's time for another edition of Glenn's Story Corner.
Get ready for some chills. The audio from part of the I Have a Dream speech. Martin Luther King Jr. here on The Holiday on Relevant Radio.
So even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream. I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low. The rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, "My country, 'tis of thee." Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring. From the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire, let freedom ring. From the mighty mountains of New York, let freedom ring. From the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania, let freedom ring. From the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado, let freedom ring. From the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, and when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
And John, Dr. King continues to inspire today.
Glenn, those words are absolutely so, so powerful. I don't know how anybody can't be touched by hearing those famous words of the I Have a Dream speeches. We honor the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on this day. Let us also pray for an end to legal abortion in our nation. Pray the rosary with Father Rocky on the Family Rosary Across America, 7 p.m. Central tonight and in every single night of the week here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. That'll do it for for this edition of Morning Air. For Glenn, for producers Gabby Burke, Mariano Gomez, Sarah Tafoya, the whole Morning Air team, I'm John Morales. Thanks so much for joining us. Do not be afraid. Let your light shine before all. God love you. We'll see you tomorrow on the next Morning Air. Patrick Madrid Show is straight ahead.